Vishuth, Cantor Beer, Cantor Garfin, Cantor Khan, really the Bell School, Morei Bravosai. It's nice to be back. Birkas Kohanim, like the practice of Hoshanis on Sukkot, carries strong associations with the Beis Hamikdash. Specifically, Avoda of Karbanos. It is, after all, the Bracha of Ritzei, which speaks of the restoration of the Avoda, the Hasheves Avoda, Lidvir Besecha, that is the point in which the Kohanim begin to prepare for Birchas Kohanim. That's when they begin to go up to the Duchan, to the elevated platform in the front of the shul. Ashkenazic Jewry, which generally limits Duchening to Shalosh V'Golin and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, further limits it to Tfilas Musaf, not Shachris, but Musaf, which is also the Tfilah most closely associated with Avoda of Karbanos, the notion of Neshama Parim Sfaseinu. A separate paragraph is added when we duchen, beginning with Vesera Valecha Asiraseinu, Ka'ola Uche Karban, making reference to Karbanos, and the very Chasima, the conclusion of the Bracha, is amended in most shuls to She'oscha Levadcha B'yira Na'avod, rather than Hamachzir Shechinasa L'tzion. This is in fact the Chasima, the conclusion used in the Beis HaMikdash. In this shiur, I'd like to more closely explore the relationship between Birchas Kohanim and Avodas Beis HaMikdash and its implications for Birchas Kohanim today. And I'd like to consider some of the following issues. Is the mitzvah to duchen of Birchas Kohanim merely a complementary aspect of Avodas HaKorbanos, or does it contain an independent character in and of itself? If it is independent mitzvah, how indispensable is the context of Avodas HaKorbanos for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim? In addition, what is the status of Birchas Kohanim today? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Is it in fact a mitzvah min HaTorah, or perhaps is it only rabbinic midrabbanan? And what is the relationship between Birchas Kohanim and Tefillah? And how would this be impacted by the other questions that we raised in terms of the relationship between Birchas Kohanim and Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? I've prepared packets for you, and I'd like to begin to go through the Makoros, the sources that you have in front of you. Let's begin on the first page, where we have two distinct sources for the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. One on the left side in Parshas Naso, the other on the right side of the page in Parshas Shemini. Parshas Naso identifies the mitzvah itself given by Daber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Daber el Aaron ve'el Banav Lemor. Speak to Aaron and his children, saying, Ko Sevarachu es B'nei Yisrael. So shall you bless the B'nei Yisrael. And the next psukim proceed to identify the formal nusach, the text of Birchas Kohanim, the three psukim that we're all so familiar with. Yivarechcha Hashem Yishmerecha, Yoreh Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichunecha, Yisar Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yaseh Melecha Shalom. It's interesting, though, that one very important feature of Birchas Kohanim is absent in Parshas Naso, and that is, of course, Nesias Kapayim, the raising of the hands. There's no mention here of the manner in which the bracha should be given and the way in which the Kohen should be situated, how he should be standing, and so on. That's not in Parshas Naso, but that's something that we do notice in Parshas Shemini. Parshas Shemini speaks about the various karbanos that were offered by Aaron during the day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Shemini Limiluyim, the day in which the Mishkan was to be dedicated. And after discussing the various karbanos that he brought, Pasuk Chaf Beis tells us that Aaron raised up his hands, Vayisa Aaron es yada bel ha'am, Vayivarachem, Aaron blessed the people by raising up his hands, and then it says he completed the various karbanos that he was bringing in honor of that occasion of the Shemini Lemiluyim. In this chapter, in Parsha Shemini, we have a reference to a bracha given by Aaron with his hands stretched out, but there's no mention as to the specific nusach of the bracha. What bracha did Aaron give on this occasion? If we look at Rashi in the bottom of the page, Rashi quotes that the bracha, in fact, was none other than Birchas Kohanim, Yivarechecha, Yo'er, and Yisa. This is the view of Rashi. However, if you go to the next page in your handouts, we notice that the Ramban takes issue with Rashi. The Ramban, quoting Rashi, says, if Rashi is correct, it would suggest that the mitzvah had already been given at this point in time, and Aaron was simply following the mitzvah that had already been given over to him, that he should bless the Bnei Yisrael. And perhaps that's not so far-fetched, because if you look in Parshas Naso, right after Birchas Kohanim, you have a description of the various karbanos brought by the Nesiim, day after day, which began, of course, on the first of Nisan. So really, it's not so far-fetched to assume that the mitzvah had already been given. But then the Ramban goes on to say that the Tachin Lomar, this is the second line from the bottom on the right side, Ki Aaron Peras Kapov Hashamayim. Aaron spread out his palms, his hands to the sky, Uverachas Ha'am Kasher Asa Shlomo. Just as we find at the occasion of the inauguration of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Psukim in Sefer Melachim describe how Shlomo HaMelech stood before the Mizbeach, spread out his palms, and it says that he offered a special bracha to the people, and it's described there in Sefer Melachim. So therefore, the Ramban suggests that Aaron did something similar. It wasn't a mitzvah that he was fulfilling. It was rather his own initiative, a spontaneous bracha that he offered to the people on this special occasion. Then the Ramban notes that there is a braisa in Toras Kohanim that would seem to support the view of Rashi, because the Toras Kohanim tells us on this pasuk, Vayivarachem zu bracha stuma. This is a very unclear, ambiguous bracha, which is, we don't know what it was. So the Toras Kohanim says, Chazar ha-kasuv u-piresh l'halan. The pasuk comes back and further elaborates in Parshas Naso with the bracha Yivarechecha, which would seem to suggest then that the Toras Kohanim is in fact assuming that Aaron's bracha was the Birchas Kohanim in Parshas Naso. To which the Ramban deflects the proof and says, Adayin yeshli lomar, that I might suggest that what the meaning of the Toras Kohanim is that there are two different brachos. There's the bracha of Aaron, which we don't know what it is. It's a bracha stuma. It always remains a bracha stuma. We will never know what Aaron said at that special time. However, there is a bracha for generations where we know exactly what the Kohanim are to do. In fact, they don't have the liberty of altering it. If a Kohen wanted to add something at the time of Birchas Kohanim, the Gemara tells us he's in violation of Bal Tosif. He may not add his own bracha. He's got to say exactly what the Torah tells us, which is Yivarechecha. So what the Torah's Kohanim simply wants to do is contrast the bracha stuma of Aaron with the specific bracha that we know for generations, which is Yivarechecha. And then the Ramban suggests a second interpretation of the Torah's Kohanim. That is that Aaron's bracha was in fact Yivarechecha, but it was a one-time mitzvah that was given to him for that occasion. But it wasn't yet codified as a mitzvah for generations. That came subsequently in Parshas Naso, when that bracha that Aaron offered of Yivarechecha became the bracha for all time for the Kohanim to always share when they are to bless the people. So we have here the machlokes between Rashi on the one hand and the Ramban on the other. What is clear, though, is whether you take the view of Rashi or that of the Ramban, the Psukim in Parshas Shemini and the bracha that Aaron gave is certainly a model of some kind for Birchas Kohanim. Many of the halachos of Birchas Kohanim are derived from the pasuk of Vayisa Aaron es Yadav. For example, the connection of Birchas Kohanim to the bracha of Ritzei. Why is it that the Kohanim have to make their move to the Duchan during Ritzei? Because just as the pasuk tells us that Aaron Duchan in the context of offering karbanos, so should one begin the process during the time of the bracha of Ritzei. This is why Birchas Kohanim takes place in Shemoneh Esrei, just after the bracha of Ritzei. You have Ritzei, you have Modim, which the Gemara tells us is really connected to Ritzei, intrinsically linked. And then you have immediately Birchas Kohanim. This is also why, of course, we have Nesias Kapayin in Birchas Kohanim. The Gemara learns it out of the fact that we have Aaron's bracha, which was Vayisa Aaron and Siyadah. And so it should be for the bracha Birchas Kohanim as well, with Nesias Kapayim. But we have this machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban, in terms of the specific nature of Aaron's bracha. I'd like to turn now to Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and if you go two sheets, or three sheets ahead actually, we have a Mishnah in Tamid. I'd like to look first at Mishnah in Perek Hay, and then go back to the Mishnah in Perek Zayin. There are two points in Mishnah's Tamid where Birchas Kohanim appears in the context of the Seder Avoda of the Tamid Shel Shachar. Mishnayis Tamid deals with the procedure for offering the Tamid, as well as all of the various avodos that accompany the Tamid, such as the lighting of the menorah, or the cleaning out of the menorah, the cleaning off of the ash of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, the offering of the Ktores. All of these avodos were integrated within the Seder of the Avodas HaTamid. If you look in Perek Hay, you find a description of a short break, a recess, that was taken by the Kohanim who were in the process of offering the Karbanos of the Tamid. We have at the end of Perek Dalid a description of how the Kohanim who were on duty on that day placed the various parts of the animal that were to be subsequently burnt on the lower portion of the kevesh, of the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. And then the parak concludes by saying that they left from the Azara, the courtyard, and they went into a room called the Lishkas HaGazis. The Lishkas HaGazis was the chamber in the Beis HaMikdash that was also used by the Sanhedrin Gedola. They would convene there. It had an entrance that went into the Azara. It had another entrance that went outside the Azara, so it was half built within the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, half out, which enabled the Sanhedrin to sit in the part that was outside the Azara. Otherwise, unless you were from Malchei Beis David, you were not allowed to sit in the Azara. That's one of the famous things about this room. But another thing about this room is that the Kohanim went there to read the Shema at this juncture of the Avoda. And Perek Hay opens by telling us, Amar Lohem HaMemuneh, the person in charge who was supervising the Kohanim on that day, instructed them, Berchu Bracha Achas, recite one blessing, and this is the bracha that is said before Shema, Tehein Baruchu, and they did so. The Gemara in Brachos, and quoted by the Mefarshim here, the Mishnah tell us, the bracha was none other than Ahava Rabbah, the bracha that we say just before Shema. Now the reason they didn't say the bracha preceding Ahava Rabbah, the bracha of Yotzer Or, because it wasn't yet light. So that they could say later on, but now they said Ahava Rabbah. After they did that, they also said Aseres HaDvarim, the Aseres HaDibros, which today we do not have in our liturgy, but at one time it was part of the liturgy, but the rabbis took it out for the reasons of the Minim, the heretics, who were to say this is all that matters, the Aseres HaDibros.
Where was it originally?
Well, as you see here, this was part of what the Kohanim did when they were to say the Shema. They said Aseres HaDibros, and then you have the three chapters of Shema that they said, Shema, Bahayim, Shemoah, and Vayomer. And then the Mishnah continues by saying, Baruch Hu Es Ha'am, Shalosh Brachos. There are those who take out the words Es Ha'am, so we'll leave it out for now. Baruch Hu Shalosh Brachos. They recited three more blessings. After saying the Shema, they said three blessings, and what were they? Emes V'yatziv, that's the bracha that follows the Shema. V'avoda, that is the bracha of Virsay, known even for us as Avoda, which of course concluded with Sh'os Chalavad Chavir Navod in the Beis HaMikdash. And then Birchas Kohanim. The third bracha that they said at this point was Birchas Kohanim. And then the Mishnah concludes that on Shabbos would be an additional bracha that would be offered to the Mishmar that would be leaving, and there would be one Mishmar that would be coming in to take its place, the changing of the guard. In any event, we have here a specific reference to this point was Birchas Kohanim. And then the Mishnah concludes that on Shabbos would be an additional bracha that would be offered to the Mishmar that would be leaving, and there would be one Mishmar that would be coming in to take its place, the changing of the guard. In any event, we have here a specific reference to Birchas Kohanim as part of the tefillah that took place during the avoda of the Karban Tamid, Shel Shachar. They hadn't yet offered the limbs and various parts of the animal on the Mizbeach. They were temporarily placed on the bottom portion of the kevesh. They took a short break to daven that everything should be accepted and so on. And then they also have Birchas Kohanim. If you go to the page earlier in your packet, which is a later Mishnah in Tamid, which is Perek Zayin, the Mishnah again talks about a Birchas Kohanim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. According to most Rishonim, this Mishnah, this Birchas Kohanim that's described in Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis, takes place after the Hakrava of the Emurim. That is, that before we saw they were placed on the bottom part of the Kevesh, the various parts of the Tamid, now they've already been burnt. You've already offered the Ktores, that was described in Perek Vav. And after the Hakrava Sa'emurim, We have a description of a Birchas Kohanim. The Mishnah tells us that the various Kohanim that were doing various parts of the Avoda would gather on the steps of the Ulam. Ba'u v'amdu al ma'alos ha'ulam. The Ulam was the chamber that was in front of the Heichal being the covered area of the Beis HaMikdash. The Ulam had a very wide entrance, the Heichal's entrance was more narrow, but in order to get into the Heichal, where you had the Shulchan, the Mizbeach HaPanini, the Menorah, and then of course the Kodesh HaKadashim, you had to first go through the Ulam. The Ulam had 15 steps, and on these steps stood the various Kohanim, Amdu HaRishonim, Lidrom Acheyem HaKohanim. The earlier Kohanim joined with their fellow Kohanim. They had the various utensils in their hands that they had used in the various avodas they had done, and the Mishnah describes them, the teni, the kuz, the machta, the bazach. These are things that either they used for the ketores or for the cleaning out of the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Uberchu sa'am bracha achas. These Kohanim, who are lined up on the steps of the Ulam, blessed the people one bracha. Now, why is it called one bracha? Because apparently the three psukim, Yivarechecha, Ya'er, and Yisa, form in the Beis HaMikdash one organic bracha. They're not broken down into three brachos, but there's one. And the Mishnah goes on to tell us that that's one of the differences between Birchas Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash and Birchas Kohanim out of Beis HaMikdash, known here as Medina. Elish and the Medina, out of the Beis HaMikdash, Omrim Osa Shalosh brachos. They are said as three brachos, uve migdash bracha achas. What is it that separates the brachos out of the Beis HaMikdash? What happens after each pasuk is concluded? Amen. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't stop, they didn't interrupt with Amen. So in Beis HaMikdash, it's called one bracha, whereas out of Beis HaMikdash, it's three brachos. The Mishnah goes on to offer two more distinctions between Birchas Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash versus Birchas Kohanim out of the Beis HaMikdash. The second difference, the Mishnah tells us, Migdash Hayomris Hashem Bikhsavo, when they uttered the Shem Hashem in each pasuk of Recha, Hashem Bishmiracha, Yoy Hashem Panav, Yisa Hashem, they would utter it as it's written, Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. Whereas Umm Medina Bikinuya, which is of course the way we pronounce it, which is Adoshem, not Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. And the third difference the Mishnah tells us is the Medina, Hakonim Noshim Es Kapeyim Yideim Keneged Kisvo Sehem, Uvim Migdash Agabe Rasheim. How high would the hands be raised? In the Beis HaMikdash, the hands would be raised above their heads, whereas out of the Beis HaMikdash, it would simply be shoulder height and not above their heads. And the reason for that is pointed out because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina is said to have been literally on the fingers of the Kohanim, and it wouldn't be right for the head of the Kohen to be higher than the Shechina. So therefore, the hand goes above the head. In Medina, we don't have that same level where the Shechina literally rests on the hands, and therefore it would simply be sufficient to have it shoulder height. And then you have a question as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, whether he can raise his hands above the tzitz. But meanwhile, we have a description of a Birchas Kohanim that took place, again, as I mentioned, by most Rishonim, it took place after the Hakrava of the Emurim. Some Rishonim say it was just before the Hakrava, but either way, it was certainly later on in the stage of the Avodas Hayom, after the Torah, certainly when they would do a Birchas Kohanim, which the Mishnah describes in great detail the differences between Birchas Kohanim and Migdash and Birchas Kohanim out of the Beis HaMikdash. So they would say Baruch Shem, but as Tosus points out, they wouldn't say it at the end of the Pasuk. They would say it after they heard Hashem's name. So there was no real interruption between one bracha and the other, and therefore they're considered to be one bracha. They wouldn't say Amen. They had a different response, like Baruch Shem or Baruch Hashem Ya'olam and Olam Ara Olam. Yeah. In any event, the question that the Mefarshim deal with is, how do we interpret the relationship between the first reference in Perek He and the second reference in Perek Zayin? Did they in fact duchen twice as part of the Tamid Shel Shachar, or should we understand the first reference in a different way? And in fact, that's how most Rishonim explain it, that although it says Birchas Kohanim was said when they were in the Lishkas HaGazis, that's not Birchas Kohanim in the sense of Nesias Kapayim. It's something short of that. And there are different ways that the Rishonim explain it. For example, you'll see on two sheets ahead, the Tosfos in Brachos, where the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, tells us on the words of the Mishnah, Birchas Kohanim, on the right side, the Ein Zaduchan. This is not the Duchan, the platform, because they would not do that until after Haktaras Emurim. That is what Tosis understands to be the Birchas Kohanim of Perek Zayin. Rather, says Tosus at the end, the lo nesias kapayim amru birchas kohanim kmo sha'anu omrin. They would simply say it, they would recite birchas kohanim without raising their hands, as we do. What does Tosus mean? As we do? Typically, when we daven, right, we have the chazan say the psukim of birchas kohanim as part of chazaras hashas. Tosus sounds like they would simply say the words, yivarecha, and so on, until the end of the bracha, which is shalom. According to other Rishonim, the Rosh in Meseches Tamid, they actually would say a tefillah, like something like Elkeinu Elokei Avoseinu. They would simply be asking, just like they wanted the Tamid to be accepted, they wanted the Nesias Kapayim that would be later on officially performed, they wanted that to be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he in fact would comply with the bracha and offer the bracha. So they asked, at this juncture, Elkeinu Elokei Avoseinu, bless us with Birchas Kohanim and make sure that the bracha that we're later going to do is going to be fulfilled. Again, it wasn't the real Nesias Kapayim, it was something like what we do. Another possibility that Rishonim mentioned, this is on the left side, that you'll see in Tosfos of Yudah Chassid, that it was in fact a bracha of Sim Shalom. Now Sim Shalom is a bracha of Shmona Esrei, but Sim Shalom is also a bracha that has very much to do with Birchas Kohanim. What we ask in Sim Shalom is for the very same things that we ask for in Birchas Kohanim. Sim Shalom Tavo Bracha, Brachino Binu Kuhanu Kechad B'Or Panecha, that's similar to Yor Hashem Panavei Lecha B'Chunecha. That is why Sim Shalom is said, typically for the Sachashkenaz, for sure, only when you would have Duchsi. See, soon took away Nesias Kapayim from Mincha, so we don't say Sim Shalom, we say Shalom Rav, except for Tainas Tzibur, where we say Sim Shalom, and also the Chazan will repeat Elkeinu Elokei Avoseinu as well.
Why don't you say that it's connected to Shalom?
No, so what I'm pointing out is that what Yudah Chassid is saying is that the meaning of the Mishnah in Perek Hay, where it says that they said Emes V'Yatziv, they said Avoda, and then they said Birchas Kohanim, it means what they said was Sim Shalom, which is the bracha that is associated with Birchas Kohanim. That's also the view of the Rambam. If you go earlier in your packet, or actually maybe later in the packet, page 7, the Rambam actually tells us as well in Hilchos Tamidim and Musafin, Halacha Hay, or it's Halacha Dalet, I should say, Halacha Dalet, the Rambam says, the Sim Shalom, where the asterisk is, the Rambam again interpreted what the Mishnah says, Birchas Kohanim, as a reference to the bracha of Sim Shalom, which is asking for the fulfillment of Birchas Kohanim. What all these commentaries have in common is that what you had in Perek Hay was not the performance of Nesias Kapayim, the actual blessing, it was rather a prayer. It's tefillah, something along the lines of what we do when we don't actually have the Birchas Kohanim take place. Now, let's ask ourselves another question about Birchas Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash. We have a description of Birchas Kohanim in Perek Zayin of Tamid, which was the actual fulfillment of Nesias Kapayim, as we've seen. This was during Tamid Shel Shachar. We all know that you had a separate Tamid at the end of the day, the Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim. Would there be a separate Duchening that would take place on a daily basis during Tamid Shel Beinu Arbayim as well? Or was it limited to once a day to Tamid Shel Shachar? Similarly, what about when you had Karbanos of Musaf that were brought, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Shalosh Rigolim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, did they offer Birchas Kohanim in the context of the Avoda of the Musafim? Here we have a machlokes between the Rambam on the one hand and Tosfos on the other. The Rambam, in the page you have in front of you, in page 7, Midim Musafin, makes it clear that it was simply part of the Tamid Shel Shachar and nothing more. The Rambam in any way, no way indicates that there was a separate Birchas Kohanim. It sounds very much like it was just done once a day, and that's even more explicit in Hilchos Tefillah. If you go back to the third page in your packet, you have the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yudalit and Kesvav, which are Nesias Kapayim. The Rambam says very clearly that it would be done once a day in Halacha Yudalit. The Mikdash Mivarech and Birchas Kohanim Pam Achas Bayom Achar Tamid Shel Shachar goes on to describe what we saw in Perek Zayin, where they would gather on Mavos HaUlam and bless. So this is Mefurish in the Rambam, that Birchas Kohanim was once a day in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Tosfos seems to hold otherwise. Tosfos is here in your packet on page number 8 in Sota, where many of the halachos of Birchas Kohanim appear. So this is Mefurish in the Rambam, that Birchas Kohanim was once a day in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Tosfos seems to hold otherwise. Tosfos is here in your packet on page number 8 in Sota, where many of the halachos of Birchas Kohanim appear. I just want to focus on the very end of the Tosus, where it's underlined. Tosus says that they would do it during the Tamid Shel Shachar. It's interesting how Tosus actually quotes Perek Hey, and everyone is asking the question. Tosus should have quoted Perek Zayin. In any event, Tosus then concludes by saying, V'hu ha-din v'musafin u'betamid shel bein ha-avayim, that they would also duchen during the other karbanos that were karbanos of tzibur, as opposed to a karban yachid. If an individual would bring a karban like a chatas or something, there would be no birchas kohanim. But an avodas tzibur, Tosus establishes, is critical, but not just tamid shel shachar. Any type of avodas tzibur would warrant a separate birchas kohanim. That's the view of Tosus. How do we understand this machlokas? Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is this one of the sources that some do, like in Eretz Yisrael, they still do Birchas Kohanim?
We'll get to Tefillah. That's the next level. In other words, we're first trying to work it out in terms of Beis HaMikdash, and then we'll see how that would spill over in terms of understanding the obligation in Tefillah, for example, Shachris, Musaf, and so on. So according to Tosus, again, we have every Avodah Sibur, Shachris, Musaf, Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. According to the Rambam, it was once a day. Rav Salvechik, Zechonu Livracha, once explained the machlokes in the avoda of tzibur. Anytime you have a fulfillment of avoda tzibur, karban on behalf of the community, that avoda is incomplete. It's imperfect if it doesn't have accompanied with it a formal performance of birchas kohanim. That is what makes the avoda more whole and more fulfilling. That is how Tosus understands it. And therefore, anytime you have avoda tzibur, you have to have Birchas Kohan. Apparently, the Rambam would hold otherwise. So here you can go in two different ways. Either the Rambam would agree that Birchas Kohanim is nothing more than a complementing avoda. But the Rambam feels that you don't have to complement each and every avoda by itself. You simply have to complement the Seder Avodas Hayom. And once you've done it once, then the avoda of Beis HaMikdash for that day is stamped with the stamp of Birchas Kohanim. The avoda is now enhanced, and everything that you do that day is elevated because you had the Birchas Kohanim performed at the first opportunity, which was the Tamid Shel Shachar. So for the Rambam, it would also be an aspect of avoda, but it doesn't have to be linked to every specific avoda of the tzibur. It's enough to do it once a day. On the other hand, you could also say for the Rambam that really Birchas Kohanim is not an aspect of avoda at all. It's really its independent mitzvah, but it's got to have a context. And that context happens to be a carbon tzibur of Tamid Shel Shachar. In other words, it's a mitzvah that you do once a day, but you don't just do it. And thus, Kohanim is not an aspect of avoda at all. It's really its independent mitzvah, but it's got to have a context. And that context happens to be a carbon tzibur of Tamid Shel Shachar. In other words, it's a mitzvah that you do once a day, but you don't just do it in a vacuum. You do it in the background, in the backdrop, as part of Avodah Sibur. Not to enhance the Avodah as much as you need it somehow to blend into Avodah for the mitzvah itself to be performed and to be fulfilled. And that's why it's done once a day and no more. These are various possibilities that were raised by Salvechik to understand the Machlokas. Any way you look at it, though, it's clear that you have Tosus on the one hand and the Rambam on the other. How would this now affect, as you were getting to before, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim in Tefillah? What is the source of the notion of duchening in Tefillah? It's a Mishnah in Tainus. This is the next page of your packet. If you could, perhaps maybe we can wait till the end so we can cover all that we have, then I'll be happy to take questions. The beginning of the fourth parak of Tainus, the Mishnah describes various... Page 9, yes. I'm trying to go in order, so unless I say otherwise, assume we're going to say that, yeah. The Mishnah talks about various tefillos, where they would duchen, and the Mishnah says, b'shlosha prakim, three times a year, the Kohanim would duchen as many as four times a day, which would mean shachris, musaf, mincha, and ni'ilah. The Mishnah identifies those occasions, taniyos, ma'amados, and yom ha'kippurim. So we have the ni'ilah, but other than that, you would duchen shachris and musaf. It is clear from the Mishnah that Birchas Kohanim and Tefillah is not limited to Shachris, but it's also applying to Musaf. And the question is, how does that speak to the issue that we're coming from in terms of the obligation of duchening in the Beis HaMikdash? Now, the first thing we should stand back and ask ourselves is, When we talk about duchening and tefillah, are we talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa today? Or should we say that no, if it's not the Beis HaMikdash, then it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa at all? Maybe it's only a mitzvah min HaTorah, like by Aaron, where you had the karbanos, so we have to have a Beis HaMikdash in order to speak of a mitzvah min HaTorah. Now I ask you to actually go ahead to page 11 on the very bottom of the page, just to hold it for a second and we'll come back. This is the Mishnah Berurah with the little footnote on the bottom of the page, under the Sharat Tzion, on the very bottom, where he makes a very clear, emphatic statement about the nature of the mitzvah today to Duchen. He says, the Da,
which page?
In page 11, this is Hilchos Nesiyos Kapayim, the very bottom, the Da, the Nesiyos Kapayim, Bechutz La'aretz, Hu Gam Kein Mid'Oraisa. Lest you make this mistake, the mitzvah to Duchen out of Eretz Yisrael, out of Beis HaMikdash, is in fact a mitzvah min HaTorah, as the post can quote the statement of Shulben Levi, that a person who doesn't duchen in under certain circumstances can violate an asay. And he quotes one achron, that is the Moruk Tzia. The Moruk Tzia was Rav Yaakov Emden, who wrote a pirush on the Torah called Moruk Tzia. Shemitzadeid, he argues, Shemidoraisa hu dafka b'migdash. That is Rav Yaakov Emden's opinion, that midoraisa, the mitzvah is b'migdash, out of Beis HaMikdash, there's no mitzvah midoraisa. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say that he made a big mistake, sheshaga bazeh, and he forgot many, many sources that clearly prove that the mitzvah is midoraisa. So this is in fact the overwhelming consensus of opinions. There may be others here and there that also struggle with Yaakov Emden, that the mitzvah today is the Rabbanan, but the vast majority of poskim, Rishonim, Achronim, all assume, as the Mishnah Berurah does, that we have a mitzvah midoraisa today out of the Beis HaMikdash. If so, then what is the nature of duchening, let's say, at Musaf? And what is the relationship between tefillah and the Siyas Kapayim? And how does that spill back to Beis HaMikdash, as we saw before? There is a question in the Yerushalmi, back on page 9, if you will, where the Yerushalmi poses that question. What is the link between tefillah and the Siyas Kapayim? Why do we assume that when you duchen, you're going to daven? Just talk about duchening in the abstract. I mean, why is the assumption of the Mishnah that you're duchening as part of tefillah? So the Yerushalmi's question is, V'yisa eskapav v'al yispalel. Let him duchen without davening. Why assume that there's davening taking place? And the answer given is very revealing. Matsanu tfila below nesiyas kapayim. While we may find tfila independent of nesiyas kapayim, tfila can be performed even if you don't have nesiyas kapayim. However, the other way around, we never find. V'lo matsanu nesiyas kapayim below tfila. We never find duchening without tfila. So what does that mean? Why not? The question begs itself. Why can't you find duchening without tefillah? So I'd like to present the approach that is taken by Rav Chaim. We'll see soon. This is elaborated on by many of his Talmidim. Although I should tell you, if we have time, we can elaborate further. The Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halach, and the beginning of Hilchos Siyas Kapayim does not understand it this way. The Mishnah Berurah takes the link more to be a Drabbanan link, that really midoraisa you don't need tefillah. But Rav Chaim took it very literally. He said that just as we saw in the Beis HaMikdash that the mitzvah is linked to avodah, and specifically avodah tzibur, going back to what we saw with Aaron in Parshas Shemini, if we have the mitzvah midoraisa today to duchen, it must mean that we have in a different form exactly what we have in Beis HaMikdash, namely avodah tzibur. Not avodas hakarbanos, but avoda nonetheless. Avoda of tefillah. And tefillah is, of course, a form of avoda. It's not just drush, it's not just maybe homiletics, but in fact, it's what justifies having the mitzvah midoraisa of birchas kohanim bizman hazeh, because we have avoda tzibur through tefillah. Tefillah b'tzibur. In fact, the Ramah tells us in some Kuf Chav Gimel that we add after Shemoneh Esrei, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Sheibaneh Beis HaMikdash, for that very reason, because tefillah is the makom of avodas hakarbanos.
So would you say that the our duchening is like a continuation of what the Mishnah says, uvavdinam, that
yes,
outside of the Beis HaMikdash,
yes,
and even duchening, and that was midoraisa?
Yes, yes. In other words, any time you have tefillah v'tzibur, you have avoda. It's just that in Beis HaMikdash there are special halachos in the way it's done, special ways in which it was done. It was done as one bracha, the hands were raised above the head, and the name of Hashem was uttered as it's written. But basically, the mitzvah is still midoraisa, even if you don't have that specific context of mikdash, but you have avodas tzibur. Now, let's take this and understand if that's the case. What is the nature of musaf vis-a-vis shachris? I can understand that shachris would be a mitzvah midoraisa, taking the line of Avchaim, that this is a din of avodas tzibur. So now you have the mitzvah performed at shachris midoraisa, just as it was performed in Beis HaMikdash. What happens now? If you go to Eretz Yisrael, right, on a day where you have Korban Musaf, Rosh Chodesh, or Shabbos, Yantif, you'll see the Kohanim go up again at Musaf. They go up at Shachris, they go again at Musaf. Is that also a din d'oraisa, a chiv d'oraisa to Duchin and Musaf, just like it was at Shachris? Suppose, for example, if the Kohen remained in Shul after Duchening Shachris, and decided not to go up in Musaf, didn't leave the shul, stayed in shul, watched everybody go up and wave, right? Stayed there and watched it from the side. Would he be in violation of a mitzvah saseh, midoraisa, of Kosev Aruch? Seemingly, this would depend on the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosus. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah midoraisa, remember in Beis HaMikdash, was simply once a day. However you explain the Rambam, it was only for Tamid Shel Shachar. If that's the case, this that we have in Tfilat Musaf obviously cannot be midoraisa, because midoraisa you've already exhausted your chiyuv once you've done it at Shachris. So the Rabbanon, for some reason, linked Birchas Kohanim to additional tfilos such as Musaf, but not midoraisa. So there'd be no violation of the mitzvah say for the Kohen who didn't go up at Musaf, even if he remained in shul. However, and that's in fact how we pask in the halacha. If you look in Hilchos Nesi'as Kapayim, the Machaber tells us that if a Kohen already went up once a day, he no longer can be in violation of the Aseh, because he's already done the Chiyuv d'oraisa. However, the Chasan Sofer notes in the Tshuva that if you go with Tosus Shita, that is, that in Beis HaMikdash they were duchin not just at Shachar, not just Tamashu Shachar, also at Musaf, also at Tamashu Bin Arbaim, then a Kohen who didn't duchin at Musaf would be in violation of the Mitzvah Aseh. And the way the Chasan Sofer takes it, every Avodah Sibur needs its own Nesi'as Kapayim to elevate it, to perfect it, as we explained before in Shita Satosus. Otherwise, the tefillah is incomplete, and for the Kohen not to go up again in Musaf would put him in violation of an Isra Aseh, a Mitzvah Aseh. Again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pask in that way, but that's what would seem to follow from Shita Satosus. If you go to page 10 for a moment, you'll notice, well, actually, we can do two things. We can start with before 9a, and then we'll go to 10. 9a, the Yerushalmi, that same Yerushalmi further on, quotes Psukim to support the notion of Nesi'as Kapayim at Shachris and at Musaf, and then later on at Ni'ilah. Yerushalmi says, Minayim Nesi'as Kapayim, where do we know that one should duchen? So the Yerushalmi quotes one pasuk from Naso, Kosev Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael. Yerushalmi says, Ad Kan B'Shachris. That would explain duchening at Shachris. In Musaf, what gives us now the notion of duchening at Musaf? The answer is the pasuk of Aaron, Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am. That is the Yerushalmi. And then the Yerushalmi further quotes a source from the Ira as well. If you look on page 10, the very next page, in the Kiryat Sefer of the Mabit, the Kiryat Sefer wrote a commentary on the Rambam, and on the Rambam, Hilchos Tefillah Perek Yudalit, quotes what the Rambam says, that in Migdash they would bless Pam Echad Bayom Achat Tamid Shel Shachar. And then he quotes for us the comment of the Yerushalmi. And then he says, the very bottom, V'nireh, D'birchas Kohanim bin Musaf u'b'ne'ilah havi midrabanan. Kiryat Sefer makes it very clear that the chiyuv of Birchas Kohanim beyond Shachris is not d'oraisa, it's the drabanu, k'roi asmachta. The psukim are simply support midrabanan, but the ikur chiyuv is the first time, which is at Shachris. And therefore, b'migdash, they'd only do it at Tamid Shel Shachar, because what is learned out from Kiryat Sefer makes it very clear that the chiyuv of Birchas Kohanim beyond Shachris is not d'oraisa, it's the drabanu, k'roi asmachta. The psukim are simply a support midrabanan, but the ikur chiyuv is the first time, which is at Shachris. And therefore, b'migdash, they'd only do it at Tamid Shel Shachar, because what is learned out from Aaron is really the Birchas Kohanim of Tamid Shel Shachar, and he says all of those other kabanos that Aaron brought with Shmini Leniluyim, the Ola, the Shlamim, the Chatas, all of that was Novaro Las Haboker. It was all after the Tamid Shel Shachar. But what was it that generated the actual mitzvah for Aaron to bless? It was none other than the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is the basic chiyuv midoraisa of the Tamid Shel Shachar, the first time of day.
And what about Uba Medina?
No, Bamedina just says that there's a mitzvah to do it once a day, just like in Beis HaMikdash. Beyond that, it's the Rabbanan. And the way in which it's done is slightly different than in the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, that is clear. But the question is the nature of the chiyuv beyond the first time. So what you have, according to the Rambam, as stated by Kiryat Sefer, is the first time, namely Shachris, is Delraisa. Musaf, Ne'ira, only the Rabbanan. Again, the contrasting view would be Tosus. Tosus would argue that you have the Chiv Doraisa even at Musaf as well. It's interesting. In here for us, when do we duchen? When we duchen once, what tefillah do we choose? Musaf. It's ironic. According to the Kiryat Sefer, we would say maybe some shuls on Simchas Torah do it at Shachris, because, yeah, correct. The question was asked of Rav Chaim. If this is so, that Birchas Kohanim requires Avodas Tzibur, and without that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah midoraisa, because that's the basic requirement, just like we saw in the Pasuk of Shemini, just like we saw in the Mishnah and Talmud, you've got to have Avodas Tzibur. If that is so, then how does one understand how we can have the mitzvah midoraisa today according to the view of the Ramban, who holds that tefillah is only midrabanan on a daily basis? There is a machlokas. You may have heard it, I'm sure I did. The Rambam holds that you have to daven once a day. The structure is basic in terms of Shevach and then Bakasha and Hodah, but the Nusach is Rabbanan, but the fact that once you daven once a day is biblical. Va'avadtem es Hashem Elokeichem. The Ramban says no. The mitzvah to daven is Rabbanan on a daily basis. The only time there's a mitzvah midoraisa is the Eish Tzara, for example, v'chisavol mechama ba'aretzichem, at times of crisis. If you take the view of the Ramban, and you hold that you don't have to daven on a daily basis, midoraisa, how can one accept that view and at one at the same time accept the view that there's a mitzvah midoraisa to have birchas kohanim every day if the whole notion of tefillah is the rabbanan and birchas kohanim would require tefillah? It was this question that led the Be'halacha. I don't have it in the packet, but you can actually see it in the beginning of Hilchos and Sias Kapayim in his discussion there of a non-Kohen who duchens, which is a major issue by itself. If there's a problem, maybe another time. For a zar to duchen, or to even offer a bracha of birchas kohanim, v'yirechecha, it's common when he brings in people take leave one of the other to give a bracha. Is it a problem? Is it a violation or not? In that discussion, the Be'er Halacha raises this very question and says, you know something? It's got to mean, if the Ramban holds tefillah d'rabbanan and birchas kohanim d'oraisa, it's got to mean that you can fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa without tefillah. The Yerushalmi says, Lo Matzinu Nesiyas Kapayim Belo Tefillah. That link was established midrabanan. The Chacham said, you got to do it at Tefillah. But you know something? Midaraisa, one would fulfill the mitzvah if I were to give everyone a bracha right now. Not by giving my brachas, but not in a formal sense. But if I would extend Nesiyas Kapayim right now, I would fulfill mitzvah daraisa according to the Bir Halach. But Rav Chaim holds not that way. It's got to have Avodah Tzibur. And so that was the question raised here. Rav Chaim responded, brought down by his Talmud of the Bisker Rav, the Emek Brachi here, that although the obligation is only drabanan, what you have in front of you when you have tefillah b'tzibur is avoda. And in fact, you can say that you fulfill the mitzvah midoraisa, a chiyuv mitzvah exists, although a chiyuv might not exist. So to have birchas kohanim every day is fine, because I have avoda tzibur. Did I have to daven per se for the sake of davening midoraisa? No. But do I have, in fact, avodah sibur? Do I have a fulfillment of avadatem es Hashem Elokeichem? Certainly, even for the Ramban. And therefore, one can fulfill the mitzvah. Let me just conclude with the very end of the packet. I have an essay which appeared in Shiur Mizeich Avi Mori. This is a drasha, a masterpiece of a drasha that the Soloveitchik gave many years ago on this topic of the Nesiyas Kapayim. And in this. Basically, there are two halachos in Nesiyas Kapayim. Actually, he starts earlier. I'll just do it outside because of the interest of time. There is a mitzvah birchas kohanim in theory as an independent entity, like achilas matzah or like shaking a lulav. Then there is also an aspect of Nesiyas Kapayim which is merely complementing avoda. That is in theory. In practice, you can't have one express itself without the other. Practically speaking, you can't have the mitzvah birchas kohanim absent avoda, because it's got to come in the context of avoda because of the second dimension of birchas kohanim. And this is how he wants to read it into the Yerushalmi of Ad Kan B'Shachris the Musaf Minayin. Slightly different take than the Kiryat Sefer. Page 13. That is, the Yerushalmi asked me, Nayim Nesias Kapayim, where do you see this mitzvah of duchening like Achilas Matzah, like Kriyashma? The answer is Kosev Aruch Hu. Does it say Karbanos there? Does it say Tfilah? Does it say Beis HaMikdash? Nothing. Kosev Aruch Hu. In theory, there's a component which is like Achilas Matzah. The Musaf Minayin, namely, how do you know there's also an aspect of duchening which is part of Avoda? On that, the Yerushalmi quotes Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav. This is all in theory. Again, in practice, you have to have it in the context of Avoda B'tzibur. Goes on to say, if you have Tefillah B'tzibur, you have Avoda B'tzibur. And that's where he develops the idea how Tefillah has two components to it. We know that Avos were Mesakin Tefillah, Avos Tiknum, Tefillah's Avos Tiknum, and we know that Tefillah's Kineget Tmidim Tiknum. They're both true. In other words, there's two anyanim of tefillah. Tefillah is a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pouring out one's heart, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the inyan of the avos b'misakin tefillah. That's the inyan of siach, of prayer as in dialogue. And then there's another aspect of tefillah, which is tefillah as avoda. It's like a carbon. Who's the carbon, says Rav Soloveitchik beautifully? It's the person himself. It's like a person is makriv himself, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every time they engage in tefillah. And if you have a tefillah b'tzibur, it's that process on the collective vein. It's really an inyan of carbon. And therefore, you have two brachos that in one way reflect the same idea, but they're really reflecting two distinct themes, one after the other. Shema Koleinu is asking Hashem to accept our tefillah. Ritzei is also asking that the tefillah be accepted. What's the difference? Shema Koleinu is Hashem accept our prayer as in tefillah, as dialogue with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're pouring out our soul to you as in we're speaking to you. We're asking for our needs. Accept our prayer. Ritzei means accept the tefillah in the sense of tefillah as a carbon. Accept us as carbonos. Accept the tefillah as a carbon. It should be accepted as a perfect carbon. That's what we say. Vashem v'savon v'v'secha v'sfirasam v'yavasikav v'ratsam, the tefillah as in a carbon. There are a number of other issues which we don't have time to talk about. I'll just simply mention that there are various halachos in Birchas Kohanim that also might link it to tefillah or to avoda. There's the question of, the Rambam says, where do you wash the hands before duchening? So the Rambam compares it to avoda in terms of the perek of the yad, which is similar to the kior. You have a question of a kohen who's about tshuva, but worshiped over the zara and came back, which there's some parallels there to tefillah as well. The Gemara says explicitly that for Baal Mum, we don't apply the psul of Baal Mum to Birchas Kohanim. That the Gemara learns out. But the Gemara does say that he has to be standing, just like in Avoda. So there are various halachos, more specifically, that link Birchas Kohanim to Avoda. But I think that in the bigger picture, what you really see very clearly, I guess with the Chaim's approach, which is what we're presenting, although you have the psukim in the Torah, you have the Mishnayos in Tamid, and you have Tefillah, they're really not so far removed. It's really a way of simply evolving how the mitzvah evolved in terms of its application, but the underlying dynamic of tefillah and avoda and birchas kohanim remains constant. You have the machlokes, Tosfos, and the Rambam, but the nature of birchas kohanim requiring avoda b'tzibur is true as much today as it was in Beis HaMikdash. If I can just conclude with that, maybe something of a tefillah and a bracha, we say every time in Sim Shalom, in Shalom Rav, that the Tobe Nacha Levarech is Amcha Yisrael B'choleis V'chol Shah V'shlamecha. One of the Mepharshim, the Radal, explains, what do we say, B'choleis V'chol Shah? Because not all the time do we have the mitzvah, the privilege of Birchas Kohanim. We, out of Eretz Yisrael, we're not doing it every day. And nevertheless, we ask, the Tobe Nacha Levarech is Amcha Yisrael B'choleis V'chol Shah. Even if we can't do it for real, give us that bracha nonetheless, that we should all be zoche of Yor Hashem Panav Alecha, Yor Hashem Shmecha, Yor Hashem Panav Alecha V'chuneka, Yisra Hashem Panav Alecha V'yasim L'chashal. If there's time, I'd be happy. If not, then we'll have to...
According to the Rambam, learning the Kishah
Yes.
So how does he learn that Mitzvah Kapayim should be Midorai? If he says it's a one-shot meal for Aaron,
no, because what the Ramban goes on to say is that you have the mitzvah that was codified for generations. Aaron did it his one time. Either he said Yivrechecha as a mitzvah that was given to him.
He disagreed with Rashi.
Yes, that was simply in terms of Parshanut. If you want to know, Pshat and Parshat Shemini, you have the Rashi and you have the Ramban. But the fact is, the Gemara uses Aaron as a model. The Gemara learns out Nesias Kapayim from Aaron.
Yes.
So it's clear that Aaron's, whatever he did and whatever he said, certainly is a source for many of the halachos of Birchas Kohanim. No question about it.
And the Gemara says that the Nesi'is Kapayim is one of the tests of all Avodas.
Okay, so it is an Avoda, clearly. And Aaron is showing a model for that.
Yeah. I want the basic things bothering all the way through. Avodah, the Korban, is from us to God. The Kapayim is from God to us. I see a very simple logical connection. After we bring the Korban to God, then we deserve to be blessed by the Kohanim, and therefore is the connection of the Kat Kohanim to the Korban. But then comes the question, the Kat Kohanim is not in the Seder Avodah, because we know the last concluding is the Rochas, is Avodah, Hoda'ah, and Shalom. It is attached to Shalom, it's after Hoda'ah. So I feel, and that was my understanding all the way through, that the Kat Kohanim is a part of Shalom and not part of Avodah, okay, so Avodah is the Korban. I mean, the whole concept.
If you look at, it's not in the packet, it's in the other packet that we're in midwinter. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Ches, talks about the sequence of brachos and Shmon Esrei. Why does one bracha follow the other? Why Das and then Tshuva? And the Gemara says, why is Birchas Kohanim after Hoda'ah? So the Gemara first explains it's after Avodah because of Aaron. Aaron did Duchening after Avodah. And then why is Hoda'ah after Avodah? Because Zaveach Todah Yechab Dinani, a pasuk in Tehillim Nun Aleph, that if you offer a Todah, so there's a connection between Todah and Avodah. So the Gemara says, why do you put Todah after Avodah? Put Birchas Kohanim after Avodah. What? So the Gemara says the following, and you can interpret it in different ways, but it's a very profound idea. Avodah v'hoda'ah chada milsehi. Avodah and Hoda'ah is really one thing. And therefore, that is one. And right after Avodah, which is one with Hoda'ah, comes Birchas Kohanim. So the Gemara says that it's connected to Avodah. So it's the Gemara that says it. And then Shalom is what Birchas Kohanim concludes with. That's Hashem's Bracha, and that's where Shalom is coming at the end.
A Kohen who is known to be a Mechal El Shabbos, is he permitted to Duchen, or is he obligated still to Duchen?
Yeah, it's a delicate issue, obviously, and there are various poskim on either side of the issue. The Mishnah Berurah, literally reading it, says, seems to say that one should not. I understand that Salvechik, Moshe Salvechik, was more lenient, and it's obviously something that you have to, any Rav would have to, you know, take into very strong consideration and decide. But there's certainly lenient views on the question. Yes?
Yes, it's a small question. The blessing that the Quran recites, the fact that they said, doesn't it specify that there's a commandment, a state, the Oraita?
Yes, so what you have to say, you have to say, interestingly, that the Mishchat Chinuch discusses this issue in terms of brachos. If a Kohen has already fulfilled his obligation and he duchens again, what justifies saying a bracha? That's what you're asking. How can you say Vitzivano? There's no longer a mitzvah. What, an easy way to address the question is to say that there may not be an obligation, a chiyuv, but there's a kiyum. In other words, you fulfill a mitzvah, midoraisa, even if you didn't have to do it. But it obviously requires a lot more. What? The Gemara says even the same tzibur, if let's say a Kohen daven hashkama minyan, and then a new minyan comes in, he's still in shul, and he wants to duchen again. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, he could duchen again. Seemingly, it sounds like, again, it's a new tzibur, but he has the right to do it for them. How we understand that will be another shiur. There's a whole other, look, if you keep inviting me back, I could talk about another issue, which is the question of the tzibur. And the mitzvah. There's a lot of aspects here, but especially with touching on the question that you raised in terms of the bracha.
The bracha is with the yahu.
One comment, tomorrow morning we're going to have a special on Western European hugging. The Halabas Yishurin, Washington Heights, otherwise known as Puri, they do from both the chakras and the.
Really? Really?
Nila. Nila. Chakras.
Really, really. I never knew that. Really, really. All the years.
Quick question. We didn't talk about it, but the practical, and we have a few chazanim here about Kohanim, and we've discussed them. There seems to be a difference of opinion. When the chazan is a Kohanim,
okay.
Does he do things? Does he stand?
Okay, let me tell you. I'll try the kitzur. There is a Mishnah in Brachos. The question was, if you have a chazan as a Kohen, should he dochen or not? So there is a Mishnah Brachos that seems to say that if there are no other Kohanim, and he's sure of himself, he's confident that he can go back and resume his tefillah, then he may duchen. Someone else calls out, Kohanim in each word, But that's the condition that seems to be suggested by the Mishnah in Brachos, which would mean, yeah, of course, wash his hands before, he could do it from where he is. Yeah, but that is, again, that would mean that the Noah Kohanim and he's confident. Let's say he's confident and he there are the Kohanim, that would sound like there's no justification to Duchen if he's a Kohen. That seems to be the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Pri Chadash argues, and in Eretz Yisrael also it's more commonly accepted, that if a Kohen feels, a Chazan, as a Kohen feels, he can resume without any getting distracted. Even if there are the Kohanim, he may have the option of Duchening. The question is how to interpret that Mishnah and the Gemara there. And again, it's seemingly against the Shulchan Aruch. I did see Rav Yaakov Emden had a different take on the Gemara, and he assumed that to the contrary. When you have other Kohanim, then you for sure can duchen, because then you won't get distracted. Then you have the other Kohanim to help you along, and then for sure it's okay. The only time we require that you be confident is only in the case where you're alone. That's not the simple reading, for sure, of the Mishnah. What you could argue is that there's a difference between Bizman HaZeh, when we have Sidurim, and time of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you feel confident, then without other Kohanim, you still can't do it, because you might feel confident, but who's to know? You could still make a mistake and not be able to make the transition and from being a Chazan to a Kohen to being a Chazan again. Today, of course, that whole possibility does not really exist for the most part, because you have Mavzorim, you have Sidurim. And therefore, we are a notch above what was then, and therefore today, if a Kohen feels comfortable, it's not just like in the olden days he felt comfortable, we have a whole different situation. I mentioned this at the midwinter. My father, he many, many years, he davened at Tiferet Yerushalayim, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is his Rebbe, and Rav Moshe allowed him to duchen. I thought Rav Moshe gave his blessings to it. It turns out that Rav Moshe went along because my father said, look, I want to duchen. I want to duchen, so Rav Moshe didn't stop him. On the other hand, in Yeshiva University, the Baal Tzvi Vashon Yom Kippur is a Kohen, and he was told by Rav David Lipschitz not to go against the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore he stands where he is and he doesn't duchen. As I say, in Eretz Yisrael, it's more common to find that the Kohanim who are Chazanim do duchen. Again, and that's the basis in terms of the sources.
A Chazan who is davening is facing the Aruch. Now, if he's going to be duchening as well, he's got to...
Yes, he turns around as much as he has to. No, for whatever, if it's Sorech, if it's Sorech. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Rabbi Adler for his inspiring cheer. Part two of this session is musical variations for Birkas Kohanim. Our presenter is, everyone knows, doesn't need introduction. He's on the faculty of the Bell School and the Chazan of Lincoln Square Synagogue, affectionately known as the Chaz Cantor Shirley Kaufman.
Shkach Rav Adler, really, it's 7 o'clock.
Thank you.